So, this is Vibe Drop episode 132. And 132 brings back an old friend to the podcast. Oh, yes. The world's greatest Apple journalist is here. He's a legend. You know who he is. But if you don't know who he is, you'll find out in a moment. Because he's coming up next on Vibe Drop, which starts now. What's up, people? This your boy, Viper, the man about tech. And welcome back to another episode of Vibe Drive. This is the podcast about tech, hosted by the man about tech. And tonight, an old good friend of mine returns to the podcast. Yes, he is here. The world's greatest Apple journalist is in the building. Probably maybe one of the few human beings on planet Earth who has got a YouTube channel to 100,000 subscribers in a year, twice, two channels, 1 year, 100K. He's done it again, but he is that man. Renee Richie is here. What's up, Renee? How you doing?
Well, you know, Viper, fee, fi, fo, fum, the big wheels of Viper Mania are churning, brother. And I got to ask you, what you going to do when Viper Drive Mania runs wild on you?
I've been waiting so long to do that. Sorry.
Yes. Oh, my God. The perfect response. The absolute perfect response, Renee. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you very much. Woo. Thank you for taking the time to join me again, man. I appreciate you.
No, man. It's an honor being here, man. I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
No doubt. No doubt. So the first question I want to ask you, just to clear up the confusion that I might have in my own little head and things like that. Phil Schiller has stepped down as VP of marketing at Apple.
Yes.
Now, according to the tea leaves in the briefing and things, he is becoming an Apple fellow. Now, in my own little brain and from what I've read on the line on the web, that it kind of means that he is eventually working his way out of the company. He's in semi-retirement. But you have told me that, no, he's still with the company. Even though I know he's working, he's ahead of Apple App Store and events. So my question to you is, what exactly is an Apple fellow? What does that even mean?
No, so I think you're right. I mean, the thing about Apple is it's such a big company, but they run it based on these small little units. Like there's just not very many people in every, like the team that makes iMessage is not that big. And the team that makes Safari, like they're big, but they're not as big as like a Microsoft would have those teams. They're all very small. And the senior vice presidents, there's like a handful of them, and we've lost a couple recently, and they haven't been replaced. Like we lost Johnny Ive, and Jeff Williams, the CEO, took over, and we lost Angela Ahrens, and O'Brien took over. You know, so that like so she was, and like, they're basically sharing the load, and now we're losing Phil in some ways, and Jaws has taken over, so he's like it's fresh blood, and I'm sure you're absolutely right. Like all of these people have been at Apple for years, and there's not more positions for them to rise up on. And Jaws is a superstar. So my guess is Phil hit 60 and he's like, I want to shoot pictures of my Leica. I want to race my, I mean, that man's got singers. Like that man's got cars for days. You know, he wants to spend time with his family. They want to spend time with his money. And he's going to keep a couple of the more contentious, attention requiring tasks like the App Store, like Apple events, and a couple they haven't really talked about yet. Maybe they will eventually, but you know they haven't really talked about yet. And Jaws, who's been vice president of product marketing for a few years now, and they promoted Cayenne, who you saw on stage at the iPhone 11 event. She's now vice president of iPhone product marketing. So they're promoting these people up, and they want to have room for all this talent. So now Phil gets, you know, they were all so overburdened. Like their desks were so full. He gets a lighter workload. He gets to stay at Apple longer because he's like bleed six colors for life. Jaws gets an opportunity to step up, and everyone under Jaws gets to step up.
So yeah, it's like a family. I was talking about this on other podcasts. There is a whole swath of talent at Apple. Just because some of our favorite senior VP executives leave, that doesn't mean that Apple's going to be hurting. They have a whole bunch of talented people that work under them. Even though we don't know their name, like you said, like Jeff Williams, he's being promoted and things like that. Yeah. So there are a bunch of people under the main guys that we know that are in the limelight that are working behind the scenes, making things happen, that are superstars in their own right. And now, like you said, this is their time to step up, step into the limelight, and now we get to see what they do.
Yeah, and we've seen them on the stage increasingly. Like, time was, it was almost all Steve. And then as his health got worse, we got to see Tim and we got to see Phil and we got to see Eddie more. And then over the years, you know, Phil didn't do any, he used to do every product and then he slowed down and Jaws did some. But in recent years, the head of Mac product marketing, Tom Boger, did the iPad mini and Laura did the MacBook Air at, you know, and Kyan did the iPhone 11. Phil still did the Pro, but she did the 11. And John Ternus, who's he's not even in marketing, he's in engineering. Like he looks like Dr. McDreamy, you know, and he was up there doing the iPad Pro and the Mac Pro. And Colleen was doing, Colleen runs iMac and she was doing the Pro Display XDR. So they're slowly letting more and more people in that department. And just to be clear, like Apple marketing is not like other companies. And I used to work in marketing and I would talk to a lot of big companies and their marketing people were salespeople. Yeah, yeah, we'll do whatever you want. Oh, at Viper, you want it in neon? I'll just tell the guys, make it in neon. And they're like, we can't make it in neon, but they don't care. They're salespeople. And the Apple people, like Jaws is an engineer. You know, he will describe to you in detail how a radio stack works, how a silicon stack works. And they really own those products. So they got a lot of real, like you said, they got a lot of really smart people on that bench.
Absolutely. It just makes me sad because obviously we lost Johnny Ive last year.
Yeah.
Now we're losing Phil Schiller. And these were people that were key figures up close and personal at these iPhone and Apple events. I kind of got used to Phil Schiller walking on stage, talking about the iPhone camera, Deep Fusion. He's the one who had the courage to get rid of the headphone jack. So Phil Schiller is kind of legendary in his own right. So I'm going to miss seeing him on stage. But, I mean, change is inevitable, I guess.
Not innovating anymore, my ass.
Right.
Yeah. I hope we see him at least once or twice more. I'd love that.
Actually, the interesting thing about Phil Schiller, like, stepping down a little bit is that that would mean that Jonathan Morrison is one of the last people that got to interview Phil Schiller directly. That's pretty cool for Jonathan. Yeah.
He's just the best. So well worth it.
Absolutely. Jonathan Morrison, that dude's legit, man. That dude's legit. But me and you, Renee, we got to have a serious heart to heart because me and you both watched WWDC 2020. And we raved about how it was a masterclass in how to present an online tech event, a virtual digital tech event. And then, Renee, yesterday happened.
Just like Samsung, please, if you're going to, like, great artists copy, just copy that.
Literally, they built their whole Galaxy S line of Empire off of iPhone, but you can't copy the best thing Apple's done the entire year? Like, what was that yesterday, Renee? I literally almost fell asleep during that Samsung Unpacked event, Renee. It was terrible.
So, you know, I don't accept a lot of excuses because I went to the Galaxy S3 event. I was there at Radio City Music Hall. I was, you know, working it for Android Central at the time. And it was horrible. And I knew some of the people who worked at Samsung back then. And they were like, dude, we got the teleprompter script that day. That was the first time we ever saw it. We had to read it live and we had to try to fix it. And I don't know if people know this or not, but like Samsung is not, like a lot of companies are dysfunctional in their own way, but Samsung, Samsung Korea and Samsung America have a lot of politics, especially with the press and marketing people. And Korea wants to run things and America wants to run things. And Korea tries to hide things so America can't change them. And it's just, it's not functional. And we see that at the events. And I think that's fine one time. Like you can say we only saw it for the first time on the teleprompter one time. 7 years later, you cannot be saying that again. That was a problem to fix.
Seriously, there are like as many events as Samsung has put on over the past 10 years or so, there is no excuse for what transpired yesterday. That was an abomination. That was terrible.
And the product was so good. They deserve so much better as a showcase.
And that might be the most infuriating thing about it. The product were so good, but the event did them no justice at all.
Yeah, none. Yeah, and that bronze was just fire. Like you want, you know, they put all the products next to each other, and that mythic bronze was just fire.
Yeah, it looked good. It looked good. Now, it's interesting because we know Samsung is going with bronze as their new color, and there have been a lot of rumors that Apple is going with midnight blue this year as their new iPhone color. So it should be interesting to see how that turns out.
I like Samsung and Huawei's colors better than Apple. Like I like that they play with like Aurora and you know all like the gradients. I would love that. You know, and I know like everyone says that, but then everybody buys black. That's the old, like anyone, you talk to anyone in the business, but like black is the most popular color by far.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then white and red. But like, I don't know. I like that they experiment like with the iPhone 11 line. Give me pastel. I'm obviously out of touch because pastel was not my year. I'm not a big pastel person. It's just too Miami Vice for me still. But I would love for Apple to experiment more with color.
That would. And it's not like they haven't done it before, because we know with the iPhone 11 and iPhone XR, they had a lot of colors in those lineups. But for whatever reason with the Pro model, they just limit the colors, and I'm not sure why. But I guess I don't know. Weird.
Yeah, I don't know either. I want them to let loose a bit.
Yeah, hopefully they will. So Renee, I know what's happening. Obviously, you know what's happening because you're the one doing it. But for the listeners and the people that are watching the podcast live tonight, they don't know what's happening at the moment. So let me fill you all in what's happening right now with Renee Ritchie. Where Renee Ritchie is coming to you guys live right now from the brand new 27-inch iMac with the 1080p webcam. Do y'all see how good that looks? Because we know in the past that these iMac webcams have been potato. But we're finally upgraded, Renee. So talk to us about your experience with the new iMac, man, because obviously the camera is fire.
Yeah, it's really good. They put a 1080p camera in here, but they didn't just do that. They changed the way the camera works. So now the sensor is back illuminated instead of front illuminated. And they have the T2 chip, which is basically the iPhone 7's Apple A11 Fusion processor with its image signal processor. And it's doing like white balance and facial tracking. So it knows to focus and expose on your face. And I have a 4K Logitech Brio that turns me orange whenever I use it with the studio lights. This is just way better. So yeah, of course, you know, I'm a nerd like you. So I want, the minute I get this, I say I want 4K. But for 1080p camera, this looks, it's computational. It looks good.
It looks
good. And I'm using their microphone too. I'm listening to you on the speakers, and I'm using their studio quality microphone as well.
Wait, you're using a microphone right now?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't even know that. Wow. Okay. That's very impressive. They got that system is complete. That's a good system. And especially for the condition that we're working in right now with everybody working from home, that iMac is getting it done. That's some good stuff Apple got going on over there.
Like, if you got to be stuck on WebEx all day until you want to chew your own leg off and escape, you might as well be doing it in a good camera.
And I, for one, am glad that they got rid of the Fusion Drive from these iMacs. I mean, it was time for that to go. Now they all come with SSD no matter what configuration you get. You're getting SSD. I think it starts out at 256 gigabytes of storage, and it goes up to 8 terabytes, which is crazy. But between the SSD and you get the 10th generation of Intel, which might be a problem with some of the hardcore nerds that are looking for the Apple Silicon iMac, but we're a little bit too soon for that. But obviously, I think it's funny because we got Luke Miani in the chat. So he's made this video. You've made this video. Greg Gadget has made the video. You guys made the video talking about, should you buy an Intel iMac now or Intel Mac now or an Apple Silicon Mac later? So talk about that in relation to what you're using right now, because obviously you're using the new Intel Mac.
Yeah, so I think almost everybody, like, my usual advice is wait as long as you can wait, buy when you absolutely need to, and then enjoy the hell out of whatever you buy, because there'll always be something next. This is unique in that 10th generation Intel core per core is not much better, if at all better, than 9th generation Intel. Still 14 nanometer. They're just throwing cores at their process shrink problems again. But there are more cores. So if you need more cores, you can get them. I think that this only applies to 4 people, though. If you absolutely have to run Windows on your Mac, because that's not going to be possible in the same way on Apple Silicon. So if you absolutely need Bootcamp or to run Intel Windows and VM, you're going to need an Intel Mac, and this will let you have one for longer. Also, if you're like Brianna Wu and you work on high-end 3D applications that they barely support Intel Mac, like maybe you get an update every 4 years as it is, you know, because it's not their priority, then who knows how long it's going to take to get those on Apple Silicon, if ever. And if you need a new iMac, you're going to want to stick with an Intel one because you know your pro apps work on it. The last category is like the grumpy old person category, where it's like, I shouldn't use an ageist cliche, but just the grumpy tech person, you know, is like, I don't trust Rev-A boards. All you people, you go test those Apple Silicon Macs for me. If there's any issues, you find them, and then I'm going to roll in on Gen 2. So I'm going to get this iMac, ride it out for 3-4 years while you're doing all your Apple Silicon, and I'll come in later when everything's been sorted out. And the last one is just like, if you need an iMac now, if you can't even wait, because we don't know, like Tim Cook said, there'll be an Apple Silicon Mac this year, but that'll most likely be a MacBook. So maybe next year there's the iMac, but maybe that's like the last one in 2 years. We don't know. So if you need an iMac now and you can't wait 3 months, 6 months, a year, 18 months, then get this and enjoy it. And when it's time for your next one, the Apple Silicon match you get will be even better than the first one that comes out. Or it'll be the first one that comes out if you're like Luke Miani and you get 13 of them every month.
And I also think it's important to note that if you get an Intel iMac now or Intel Mac now, it's not going to stop working when the ARM Mac come out, when the Apple Silicon Mac come out. It's going to work for many years to come.
Is not coming to your house with a sledgehammer.
Right. No one breaking your computer. So it's not like your Intel Mac is going to be obsolete and it's not going to work anymore. It's going to work. It's just that Apple, they're transitioning to using their own chip. So at some point, they are going to redesign them and they are going to come with their own silicon. And then that's going to be the way Apple goes in the future. But if you buy an Intel Mac iMac today, you will be fine. It will work for about the next 5-10 years probably, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we're going to want the Apple Silicon because we're a bunch of tech early adopters. Oh, can't wait. Wow, but like,
absolutely, Renee. You already know. Absolutely.
Yep.
Shout out to those of y'all listening on audio only this week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Bipe Drive with me and my man, Renee Ritchie. If you guys want to go check out Renee, who happens to be the world's greatest Apple journalist, his info will be in the show notes. Definitely check him out. If you don't know who he is by now, I don't know what rock you've been living under, but definitely go check him out and watch his content. He is legit. Also, if you want to support or donate to the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes as well. Not required, but again, anything you're willing to contribute, greatly, greatly appreciate it. Also, if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review as to help more people discover the show. Help me get back into the top 200 of tech podcasts on Apple. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please, please, please consider leaving a rating or review. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. So, Renee, like I said, you've been pumping out a lot of content lately. I think you're watching from your... What's that?
So look who's talking.
I've been kind of low compared to you. I mean, I know I've been pumping out the live stream, but you've been pumping out the videos, though. You've been on it. So I think your latest video today was talking about the upcoming public beta of macOS Big Sur. So what can the people expect with macOS Big Sur?
So, you know, I want to be cliche about it just for a second, because like Big Sur, I think they chose it because you have the power of the mountains, which is the upcoming Apple Silicon, and the beauty of the seascape, which to me is the redesign. So they basically did, I don't want to say like really iOS 7 like redesign, because it's not that. And they've done a few redesigns already, like they flattened it out a bit and they brought a lot of the Mac stuff, the iOS stuff over to it previously. But they went through and they just made it like more spacious, more rounded, like lighter. So I think the redesign, in part because we're going to be able to run iPhone and iPad apps, and there's already Catalyst apps, and they're all going to be able to live together sort of more cohesively. I'm still really salty about the icon change. I miss having distinct Mac icons, but I get that they want you to be able to have all these different, you know, AppKit and UIKit and literal iOS apps all together on your dock. But I called it a breath of fresh pixels in my preview.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Like I used it for about a couple of days or so, and it looked completely different from what we're used to on macOS. But it was kind of familiar to me because it looked a lot like iOS and iPadOS. So it looked familiar. It felt familiar that way. And thank God they changed that battery icon, because that would be cool, right?
There's got to be somebody going on to see if anybody gets really mad with this.
Just seriously, that would be bad. So I'm glad they changed that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know Safari's going to be faster on it, and we finally get 4K YouTube in Safari, which is long overdue. So there are a lot of good things coming with macOS Big Sur, and now the public can test throughout the beta. But as we always tell you all, do not put beta software on your main device. Make sure you use a backup device, because if you use it on your main device, you might not be a happy camper if there's some bugs and glitches and you can't do what you want to do normally. So don't do it.
I mean, it's important to remember too, like, even though this, like, you're going to ask me, or you're going to ask Viper, like, is it stable? And we're going to say this one, but who knows what the next one. Like, I remember last year with Catalina, one of the betas, Final Cut Pro stopped launching. And that's a really big deal.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem. It's funny because that's why a lot of pro users don't upgrade to the newest Apple OS when it's actually officially released, because they are afraid of potential bugs. Like, a lot of people will stay back on the previous OS just to see if all the bugs get worked out before they upgrade. Because again, like Renee said, you can't have your pro level app not working. I mean, that's money, and you can't be losing money. So
that's literally your job. Yeah,
literally, that's your job. So there are a lot of people that even when Apple officially releases the newer operating system, they won't upgrade. They will not upgrade right away, which is smart.
They're going to wait for us to do it and then see what happens.
Exactly. They wait for the tech nerd to test drive it to make sure it's okay until we give them the okay and they come in. And a lot of it is also app compatibility issue because developers need time to update their apps for the newest OS, and that usually doesn't happen right away. So if you have an app that's not compatible, you have to check that before you upgrade, especially if it's an app, again, that makes you money. You got to check that stuff out.
Yeah. And like the indie developers are usually really fast, but like the big companies like the Adobes and Googles and Microsofts, they can take their sweet apps time.
Yep. Like a podcast is in the chat here. Final Cut Pro must launch all the time. He does not have time for it not launching. I agree, man. I use Final Cut Pro too. I can't have Final Cut not working. That's just not a good look. Yeah. I can't highlight
that. I use Premiere. Sorry, I had to say that.
Oh, shots fired. Oh, boy.
Oh, shots fired. Shots fired on the podcast.
Ooh, we got shots fired on the podcast. Everybody duck. So for whatever reason, I can't highlight your super chat, but thank you to Anthony Beltre for the super chat. And he wants to know, Renee, when is Face ID coming to the MacBook Pro?
So my guess and my hope is that it'll be soon. Like I think the desktop Macs never got Touch ID because it'd be expensive to put Touch ID into one of these, you know, peripheral keyboards. You'd be adding essentially a watch chip or an iPhone chip. And that's a lot of money for just a keyboard. But if you put it into if you put Face ID in, that stays in the computer. So my guess is we'll get like not even a T3 chip, but the SoC that they put in there will be equivalent, not in overall architecture, but just in generation to an A14, which will have like the neural network, the Apple neural engine, and it'll have everything you need for Face ID. And then I hope that they'll start phasing that in. It just makes so much sense on an iMac or anything where you look at it and it unlocks.
Yeah, that would be nice. And we know they have that already on Windows with Windows Hello. So yeah, it would be nice to have Face ID on your MacBook. That would be next level.
Yeah, it would be great because like right now I use the watch and the watch is often faster than Touch ID. But sometimes I'm just walking to get coffee and it's like, your iMac unlocked. I'm like, no.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Because sometimes I just be sitting on my couch and then I feel my watch. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not doing anything. I didn't even touch the Mac. What are you talking about?
So, yeah, it's I'm looking at you.
Yeah, what are you doing? I love being in the Apple ecosystem. It's great. It is absolutely great. So Apple just had their Q3 earnings call where they broke like all kinds of records. And I love like this time, like when they have these earnings calls, because I can hear Renee Ritchie saying in his head, oh, Apple is doomed, huh? Really? Not so fast, my friend. No. So the crazy thing about this earnings call is that iPad sales were up 31% year over year. And I think Mac sales were up, I think 11% or something like that. Maybe I have mixed up, but they both were up. And obviously that's because of the situation that we're in. People are working from home, and when you're working from home, devices like iPads and MacBooks are going to be more in demand than usual. Now, will this happen again next year? I mean, it's hard to tell because I don't know how far along we'll be after this whole pandemic, but it's crazy that when you got all these other businesses like tanking and just going out of business, Apple businesses and services are just pew. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and everyone, all the tech companies, like they were in front of Congress testifying about antitrust one day, and then they were all declaring massive, massive earnings. Yeah. Like just a couple days later, because we're all stuck at home. We're buying iPads and Macs, and we're watching YouTube and using Facebook and buying from Amazon. I mean, it's a tragedy. It's absolutely, you know, terrible, but it's a perfect storm in terms of their revenue.
Seriously. I mean, Amazon must be like printing money at this point. I mean, they are the de facto like online ordering service for everything right now.
And like Jeff Bezos, he's so funny. He's like, I don't know how anything here works. I started a bookstore. Since then, I've been counting money. Do we sell that? I don't even know if we sell diapers. Really? You know how hard it is to count the amount of money I have? I don't have time for anything else.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Bezos is like, yo, I don't know what they're doing down there. I just make the money. I make the money. I'll make sure the money comes right. I'll make sure the money fails right. I make sure it's not counterfeited. I'm good to go. I don't know anything else.
Going on Scrooge McDuck. That is my life. Why am I here?
Like, the dude can literally swim in a room full of money. He is that rich. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But also, I think I saw a headline that Apple just became a $2 trillion company, which is just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, the numbers are unreal anymore. And a lot like Microsoft, their valuation, Amazon's valuation, all of them, they're unreal. Their numbers, they have more money than companies that have oligopoly control over fossil fuel resources. That the thing always blows my mind. Like they have more profitable quarters than Exxon or than Saudi Aramco.
Right. And it's funny because on that Q3 earnings call, every division of Apple business could be its own separate Fortune 500 company. If that's successful, like it's crazy to think about how good they are in all their individual organizations and units. Like if you separated their services from Apple and just made it its own company, it would be a Fortune 500 company. And they just kind of did that pivot like, it started before last year, but it really just came into its own last year. And it's already like making bank for them. It's crazy how that worked out.
Wow. Yeah, it's and it's funny because I think what Apple suffers from is like the sort of gambler's thing where you're at Las Vegas and the person next to you is winning and you're like, his win streak's going to be over soon. You know, he's not going to be able to beat that iPod. Oh, fine, he got the iPhone, but now it's even twice as unlikely. iPad. Okay, well, there's no way Apple. There's no way after Apple Watch. AirPod. Look, he's got to lose sometimes. I think that's how Wall Street looks at them. Like every time Apple succeeds, they just think it's even less likely they'll succeed again. And yet, Apple's process, it's like IKEA or like other companies. They have very good fundamentals. They know their business. They only go into businesses. They don't like make a lot of wild products. They go into businesses where they think that they can differentiate. And then they extract like the most valuable customers with like really, really high margins and rinse and repeat. And Wall Street just doesn't seem interested in that formula.
No doubt, man. I kind of talk about what happened to BlackBerry a decade ago.
Yeah.
BlackBerry went under because they failed to recognize the change in time with hardware. They stuck to their guns with their hardware. They were rocking out with their physical keyboards and things like that. They and Apple came out with all touchscreen iPhone and things like that. And then Android followed suit and BlackBerry just refused to adapt. And eventually they just died out more or less because they would not adapt to the change in time. And Apple, on the other hand, is very good at adapting to change. Me and you, Renee, we both know that iPhone sales have been on the decline for the past 2 or 3 years. So what has Apple done? They have slowly started transitioning over to a services-based business model. And like I just mentioned, it's already booming. It's already paying dividends. Because there's over 1 billion iPhones out there in the world right now. So Apple has over 1 billion install base to sell all their services to, and they are making an absolute killing because they recognized that early on, and they're going to be strong and okay for years to come because they were able to make that pivot, recognizing the way the market is moving.
And the thing is, like, I don't want to say it's a master plan because I don't think they actually think of it that way, but they make very solid technology so that when they need something, they often have it. Like when they wanted to make the Apple Watch and CarPlay, they'd already made extensibility. You know, a lot of stuff is being built off continuity. So technological investments they made early on are paying dividends for them in profit. It would, you know, like the ecosystem, that's because of a bunch of investments they made in technology that they keep finding new things to plug into. Like I love Continuity Clipboard. I just copy and paste from my Mac to my iPad to my iPhone and back. And that's because they built the infrastructure for handoff. Yep. And because they built that, you can also now deep link. So because they made handoff, you can use Overcast and go to and bookmark a specific part of a podcast. And it's just good development builds good products. And it's like a virtuous cycle.
Literally. I love that. Like when I'm trying to do research for a video, usually I take notes on my iPhone and they're already on my MacBook. And I could just use that as a bullet point for when I'm doing a video. And it's amazing. Like the way continuity works is absolutely amazing. It's one of the lovely things about the Apple ecosystem, which is still undefeated even in 2020. And I know the Android people are trying to catch up, but they're not there. But yeah, these Apple devices, the way they seamlessly work together, and there have been hiccups along the way. They haven't been perfect with it, but for the most part, the ecosystem is just amazing. And that is the main reason why, no matter how good an Android device is, iPhones and iPads and MacBooks, they work so well together. People stay with Apple because the ecosystem and the way the devices seamlessly work together. It can't be overstated enough. I know we always harp on it as techies and tech YouTubers, but when you're in there and you experience it, you get a better appreciation of what we talk about when we mention the Apple ecosystem.
Well, it's like you're speaking different languages. So like when you talk to an Android person, they think you're an idiot who just bought a package of Apple lies. And I totally get that because they're like, I want to customize it. I want to have Comic Sans as my display font. You know, I want to be able to do what I want. I don't want any controls. I want to root it. I want to change my launcher. And they literally, like, you're speaking a different language. And you'll say, Well, I like that when I buy the iPhone, it also, you know, I can buy the AirPods and I can buy the Apple TV and I can go to the Apple store and somebody will help me because I'm not very technologically savvy. Or I can go there and take classes. You know, they offer all these free classes and I get iWork and I get GarageBand and I get all this free software and it gets updates for 5 years. And when I resell it, it has a high resale value. So for them, like for an Android person, you're like, you spent $1,000 on what? And you're like, I spent $1,000, but I feel like I got $2,000 worth of value. And we don't know how to talk to each other over that over that divide.
So yeah, it's so funny, but man, like I said, you cannot mess with what Apple has done with their ecosystem and the infrastructure that they have built in the walled garden. It's just untouchable right now.
So I have this theory, and you can tell me if this holds water or not. So I feel like if you walk into a carrier store and you don't really know anything about technology, you're going to say, like, which phone runs Facebook and is free? And whatever is on carrier incentive, that is what they'll give you. And that's if that's all you care about, it's like, it runs Facebook and it's free, and it'll be a Samsung phone or a Motorola phone or whatever the carrier is trying to push at the time. If you're nervous about that and you've heard that Apple is easy to use, you might specifically ask for an iPhone, and then you'll get an iPhone. Mm-hmm. And then that's like sort of like the base level users. And then if you're a little bit more sophisticated, it's sort of like Mac and PC. If you're a hobbyist, if you like to hack things and configure things and change things up, you'll go for Android. And if you just want it to work so that you can just work, you'll get an iPhone. And if you get bored with the iPhone, you'll move over to Android. And then if you're like frustrated with Android and you want like just something that's simple, you'll go to iPhone. And that's how those wheels churn over time.
Yeah, you absolutely nailed it. The carrier will push whatever they're trying to push at that particular time. It doesn't matter if it's iPhone, Android, whatever they're trying to push, that's what they're going to push. But like you said, normally if you walk into a carrier and you ask the carrier, I just need the easiest, most simple to use phone, they're 9 times out of 10, they're going to steer you towards an iPhone because that's just the truth. But if you want your phone with a little more customization and flexibility, then they're going to steer you probably towards an Android. Because here in the US, it's basically Apple and Samsung and then everybody else, basically. So that's just what it is. But obviously, you have your Motorola's and your Google's. And I know we just had the Pixel 4a come out recently. Yeah. So that's a damn good phone. But yeah, here in the US,
Pixel 4 had been as good as the 4a.
Yeah, the 4A is in some ways better than the 4, but we won't talk about that. But yeah, I don't know how it is in Canada, but here in the U.S. is Apple and Samsung and everybody else. And that's pretty much how it goes.
We still have Huawei. So
you got Huawei, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the distribution is between Samsung and Huawei, but I guess, again, it depends on what the carriers are incentivized to push.
Right. So obviously, you have been covering Apple for a long time. I decided at the beginning of the year to focus more on Apple content. You watch my content, I watch your content. So it is eerily crazy how much me and you think alike. I have there have times where I wanted to make a video and I know you made a similar video, but I won't watch your video because I don't want to get ideas. I don't want to be influenced by your video. So I'll go make my video and then I watch my video back and then I go watch the video you made. And I'm like, holy crap, we made the same video. And then I make a video. But you haven't made a video yet. And then a week or two later, you'll make the same video or a similar video to what I made. And I go watch the video. I'm like, wow. Okay. One time it's a fluke. This has happened twice now. And the videos that I'm referring to, Renee, are we both made the iPhone 11 or was it the iPhone 11 or iPhone 12? iPhone 11 now or iPhone 12 later. We both made that video. And then we both made a video talking about the iPhone coming back to Qualcomm chip. And it is eerily similar how close those videos are between me and you. And like I said, you made your Qualcomm video after I made mine. I think I made mine 2 weeks before you made yours. And I made my iPhone video, I think 2 or 3 weeks after you made yours or something like that. It's crazy how linked we are with this stuff. But I don't know, I just found it astonishing that we really do think alike with this stuff.
No, I'm the same way as you. I usually have a list of 5 videos I want to make. I try not to go further. If I have wild ideas and I can't do them, sometimes I'll have more than that. But I know the next 5 videos I want to make. And then if I see you or Greg or Luke or, you know, even Marquez, anybody who's made anything similar, I can't watch it because I don't want, they might change my mind. And that's fine. If my mind gets changed afterwards, that's fine. But I want to make sure that I put out what I think now. So I think that's the only fair way to do it. And then I'll go and watch it and I'll be like, oh, this is completely different than what I said. And now I'm learning something, or I don't agree with that at all. I got to make another video. And then sometimes I'll watch it and I'll go, oh, this is, we have the same points. you know, hopefully we're onto something and we're not both just yelling at the clouds, you know, about it.
No, usually when me and you make similar video, we are practically on the same wavelength. It's kind of eerie, man. It's just like, it's craziness. But you made the video about iPhone going back to Qualcomm, and we both talked about how when the original iPhone came out, they were working with a company called Infineon. That's where they got their original modem. And then Infineon was brought out by Intel. And then Apple moved to Qualcomm for them 4 years. And then obviously they had their dispute with Qualcomm, and yeah, they ended up going back to Intel. So talk about iPhone finally, Renee, in 2020 going back to Qualcomm, because they know how much I hate Intel modem. But talk about it from your perspective.
Oh, I just want to add something quick first, if I can. Like, yeah, if you're a YouTuber, if you're a content creator, because I see people joking about this, if you're making a video and somebody else makes it first, make your video. And it's the same thing we used to do in blogging. Like, your editorial calendar is your editorial calendar. And just because someone else made it doesn't, and even if you end up making a similar video or a completely different video, make your video. Yep. Because usually it's because the topic is popular, and then either they'll be in your sidebar, you'll be in their sidebar, and everybody wins.
Woo! Renee giving y'all that Roberto Blake YouTube guru tip right there, y'all. There it is. Make the video. That's right, Renee. Tell them, make the video.
Yeah, never cancel it because, oh, somebody else does it. It's like, no, be you. Because yep, you're going to have, like, even if there's nuances, like, you have, I've not had a bad experience with Intel modems, and you really want those Qualcomms. So I feel like my video wasn't, I think my video wasn't as good as yours because you felt it. Like, you were super passionate about it, where I was more like, this is how the industry is moving, which is okay, but I hadn't suffered enough to make that video.
Yeah, but I mean, we both broke it down in terms like of nuance, like the history of Apple and the modem that they've used to where they're going now. Obviously, they were suing each other all over the damn world, and then they came.
AT&T's fine, and you're like, I need to get rid of this trash.
Yes, I hate Intel modem, but I'm glad they're going away. But
that's important for people to hear.
What's that?
That's important for people to hear because they won't get that from me. Because again, like, AT&T's been fine. Sorry, Intel's been fine for me, and right, you making that video is important for them to hear.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where I wasn't the only one. I'm not the only one who like kind of felt like the Intel modem were inferior. There were tests done out there that prove the Intel modem were inferior. Hell, Apple was caught nerfing the Qualcomm modem back when they were using both Intel and Qualcomm. So it's not just me talking out of my behind.
Yeah, no,
it's actual logic to it.
And the same thing, like Luke and Greg and I all made, like, should you wait for the Intel Mac or get the or the Apple Silicon or get the, and someone's gonna watch my video and go, but then they'll watch Greg's and then they'll watch Luke's and they go, okay, now I'm informed enough. I've got a diversity of opinions. You know, they all agreed on this part and that's what matters to me. Or they disagreed with this and I hadn't thought of that. And I'm you know, I think Luke made a better point here and that's what's going to, you know, matters to me. So make your damn videos.
Right. Y'all hear that? Y'all heard that man say? He said, make your damn videos. Don't worry about what other people are doing.
Yes.
Like I said, the only thing is, like I said, if I see you made a video that I want to make, then I can't watch your video. Yeah. Like, I put a tweet out about all these Pixel 4a reviews that came out the other day. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't watch y'all video because obviously I knew I was getting sent one and I was going to have to make a video. So I can't watch y'all review videos yet until I make my own. Then after I make mine, I'll watch yours. But yeah.
You get used to that. Like, back in the day, I couldn't read Gruber. I couldn't read Panzerino. Yep. I couldn't read Dieter when I was working on my review. And then now I can't watch any of their videos until my video's published. And then I sit down with a cup of coffee for like 2 hours and I go, oh, I can't believe I forgot. I didn't even.
Right. And that's another reason why you should watch all the videos, even if they're like the same title video. Watch all of them because, like Renee said, we are going to miss. I even mentioned this on a podcast and live stream before. We're going to miss something. Renee is going to cover something that I don't. I'm going to cover something that Renee doesn't. Like, there's always going to be that different perspective that you get from watching multiple videos, even of the same title or subject. So watch as many videos as you can from as many people as you can until you have enough information to make your decisions and then go from there.
Well, it's like the Pixel 4. Marquez's was a little, like he said, it was a little bendy. And then someone else said theirs was rock solid. And that means, like, if you just watched Marquez, you'd be like, oh, I'm not getting this. But if you watch both of them, they go, oh, maybe this one is different. And then you watch a bunch, they go, oh, nobody else said that. And all of that helps you make a better opinion.
Definitely. Absolutely. So we cannot have a podcast between me and you and not talk about the upcoming iPhone 12.
Yes, sir.
So what do we think, Renee? We know the iPhone itself is going to be delayed, but now there's talk that Apple might actually hold back the keynote until October. So are we going to get a keynote in September, Renee, or are they going to actually hold it back to October?
Yeah, so I'm going to say something maybe controversial. I don't think it matters. Like, I know just we get really precious about it because September has been this big thing. But, you know, like, they used to put out the iPhone in June. That used to be the WWDC keynote. And then the iPhone 4S was in October because Siri was running late. So they waited till October to do that keynote. And then it moved into its like traditional, it took over the iPod spot when the iPod started going, you know, downhill and the iPhone was ascending. And we've had like the iPhone XR was later and the iPhone, they were announced in September, but the iPhone XR shipped later, the iPhone 10 shipped later. So I think it doesn't really matter. Like Apple can afford to wait. It's not like a big, they're not dependent on like the Yerba Buena Center or anybody else's physical rental space now. And even WWDC was like 3 weeks later than it usually is.
Right.
So I think, you know, it's always better when they can say, and it's going to be available for pre-order on Friday. That to me is always more like more impactful.
I was thinking about that because normally when they do the keynote, like you said, the pre-orders are on that Friday and then the device is usually available 10 days later.
Yeah.
So it would make sense for Apple to move back the keynote this year. We know for a fact that the devices themselves won't be available to October, it makes more sense to move the keynote to October so that they can have that same timeline. Have the keynote on a Tuesday or Wednesday, pre-orders are obviously that Friday morning. Timmy, move it back to midnight, but that's another ramp of the day. And then the iPhone going to sell that next Friday. So it will make more sense for them to do that, definitely.
Yeah, the only thing, like there are years where they do a September and an October keynote, like when they have enough products to fill both. And then you usually get an iPhone, Apple Watch in September and an iPad Mac event in October because they need the time. But again, because of like COVID-19, they could be doing a bunch of press release drops like they just did with the iMac. So they have a lot of flexibility now. They don't have to. It's just usually more economical for them to get everybody together because all the international press comes in, all the international Apple people come in, they can do in-person briefings. It's just the logistics are so much easier. But since we're all stuck out here, they can have a WWDC style event for their most important products. And then anything that doesn't need space, like stage time, that's just like an incremental update, drop the press release. Prosser will tell you 15 minutes before it arrives.
Literally, he was like, right, I think it was like a 10, 15, maybe half an hour before they dropped the iMac. Probably like, sorry, Timmy, iMac coming, and then bam, there it is.
It's usually Phil, but now it's Jaws's problem. I don't know if Tim cares that much. I think it's mostly it was Phil before, and now it's going to be Jaws.
Yeah, now Jaws is going to be one sending the security team after John. So, with the iPhone 12, Renee, we know that more than likely, they're coming with Qualcomm chip, which means they're coming with 5G because Qualcomm's not making anything this year without 5G in it. So they're all coming with 5G. There have been rumors of whether or not the iPhone will come with a 120 hertz refresh rate. I think those have been kind of debunked. So I think we believe right now that it's not happening. We know that they're all coming with OLED, and there's a rumor two new size options. There's a 5.4 inch iPhone coming this year and a 6.7 inch iPhone coming this year. What else do we know about iPhone 12, Renee? Or what else do you know, I should say?
No, I mean, I think you've nailed it over your past shows. And I think like you just got to think like Apple thinks with these things. And they've never really been about, like the iPhone 11 is a best-selling phone. The iPhone XR was a best-selling phone before that. And that was famously like facepalm, not even 1080p in 2018 or whatever. And they're not about that. They're about the overall experience. And things like 120 hertz, you know, I would love it. You know, I saw it on the iPad. And just to make Marquez hate me even more, I would love it because I can play 24p. It divides equally into 24p with frame quintupling. So I can watch like the Avengers in the proper frame rate. And I can watch all my movies the way Hollywood intended them to be. So I love the adaptive frame rate. But OLED does not color manage that. Like I haven't tried the Galaxy Note yet, but if you have like the Galaxy S20, you can see the white point change when you tap between the refresh rate. And Apple does not make users mad. Like Samsung famously is like, lol, change your own color profile. You know, and some nerds love that. They go, I'm in photos, I'm gonna go change my color profile. Oh, I'm in video, I'm gonna go change my color. Apple's like, no, we are not gonna ask normal humans to change their color profile. And Samsung's like, or other companies like, oh, you just change your refresh rate. It's like, no, like if it's not perfect and automatic and the color balancing, color management is, you know, seamless, all of that thing, you know, it'll be built into the hardware, but they're not going to turn it on. And I think that's going to go completely through the stack. Like 5G, you have 5G in downtown Chicago in a couple blocks. If you're not blocked by rain or leaves, you'll have like millimeter wave. But most people won't. Like Canada, we have not even sub-6. We have low band, and they're trying to roll out mid band. and they delayed the auction for High Band until next year because of COVID. So like, it doesn't matter. But to your previous point, those Qualcomm modems are so good, we're going to have a fantastic LTE experience. So like, I would never tell someone to buy a phone for 5G. And they're like, well, it's future proofing. I'm going to have 5G in 3 years. But then no, you're going to want the modem in 3 years because that's going to be so much better of a modem.
Yes.
Get it for good LTE right now and just be super happy.
And, you know, I don't really talk about that much, but that's one of the main reasons why I want iPhones. And I'm glad that they're going back to Qualcomm because now we get better LTE.
Yeah.
Because, again, the Intel modems with the LTE, they kind of dropped out a few times on me. And then the connection went kind of bad. The signal went kind of bad. Yeah. And we know that Qualcomm has superior cellular modem to Intel. So I am so glad that finally this year in 2020, we get the best possible iPhone because we know it'll have the best possible parts in it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Love it.
It's going to be a good package. It's going to have, like, the OLED on the regular ones probably won't be as good like as the ones on the Pro models. Those are probably going to be much higher. That'll be Samsung's latest process with Apple's latest material requirements. Apple's super demanding. Their display team's like, we would rather you use this element instead of that element. And they're like, okay, fine, whatever. So those will probably be like top end, like whatever's in the Galaxy Note plus whatever Apple does to it. So those are going to be really nice. And then I'm guessing it'll be just like iPhone 10 level OLED in the base model 12s.
Yeah, right. But again, they are all going to have OLED, which is a big deal because I just brought a brand new OLED TV and oh my Lord. I mean, you don't really get you kind of get the sense using it on a cell phone, but when you get an OLED TV and you come from a regular LCD TV or a non-OLED TV, it's like night and day, man. I mean, damn. Like, yeah.
Especially LG. Like, because LG TV is the way Samsung owns handsets.
Yes, yes. Yeah, LG OLED TV are, which is why I brought an LG OLED TV, because they are literally the best. And
it's a completely different process. Like, that's not like a Pentile big phone display blown up. That's like a filtered OLED. Totally different technology, which is why different companies are good at different versions of it.
Absolutely. But yeah, like LG owns OLED television displays, Samsung owns OLED mobile phone displays, and they are both at the top of their game when it comes to those displays. They are legit.
Yeah.
Ooh. So I'm curious to get your thoughts, Renee. What is something that you would like to see in iPhone 12 that we have not had in iPhones yet?
So I like the fact that the pros are really leaning into photography, and I don't think we'll get it this year. What I don't want is a 2-megapixel macro. But they are just taking people's money at this point. I would like Apple to get better at zoom through a combination of better optical zoom and better computational zoom, because I think Google does themselves a disservice by leaning so heavily. Like, their algorithms are the best in the world, no doubt. Their segmentation masking, their super res zoom, super res, you know, their HDR plus, best in the world. But they like it so much, they put commodity cameras in it. Where like Samsung and Huawei are the opposite. They put the biggest glass. Nokia is going, damn, that's a lot of glass. Like the amount of glass they put in there. But their algorithms are not good. And Apple's like been pretty good glass and pretty good algorithms. But if they would like up that glass a little bit and then do what Google did and take the smart HDR algorithm and use it for smart zoom. And they don't even, like, I would love a periscope. Like, that would just be great, because I think like, when the world returns to normal and you want to take photos of your pets and your kids playing in the park, and we're going sightseeing and you can't sneaker zoom, I think that'd be great. But just that's the area where the Pixel is still just smashing the iPhone is zoom technology. And I want to see Apple just catch up to that and make it competitive.
Yeah. And portrait mode too. I wish Apple had better portrait mode. I'm not to say that they're bad, but Google is just killing them in portrait mode.
Their optics are slightly better because they're using better cameras and they're using more cameras. So there's more data, but Google segmentation masking is just unmatched.
Killing them. Yep.
Google can identify what's it. They're like, oh, here's your pet. Here's your glass. Here's your thing. We'll just cut around that. They're going back to old photos. It's like a photo of Viper from 5 years ago. Make it portrait. You know, it's like this fantastic.
Too funny, man. Too funny. Speaking of Google Pixel, like I said, I know when you're not using an iPhone, you are a Pixel fan. Did Google send you out a 4A, or are you planning on getting a 4A?
Well, I'm on their happy list.
Really?
No, I don't get any Android. I have a couple times, not often, but I like the parts that are in Pixel phones, but their problem is that their executives want an iPhone. They want to make money like the iPhone makes money. Their engineers want to dog food Android And they didn't even talk to the Android team until recently, which is bananas in my mind. Like, if you have a Pixel team and an Android team, they should actually talk to each other. And also, their product managers are like, we need to test out notches, we need to test out hole punches, we need to test out radar, like Soli sensors. And then another group is like, we need to make a cheap phone for developers. You know, that's our grassroots. That's where we came from. And they don't talk to each other. They don't come to a unified vision for the product. And then like Rick Osterloh walks in and goes, oh, you guys screwed up the battery. No, you tell them that at the beginning, dude. Like when you first get the specs, you don't let them make the phone if you're not going to be happy with the battery.
Right, right.
So they need to have someone like Jaws, you know, who's there, or like Cayenne, who's there, like, this is the phone we're making. Don't listen to anybody else. We are making this spectacular phone. And then just do it.
It's crazy how the dishevelment over there at Google, as far as how the departments don't talk to each other when they're making this phone. I remember John Prosser said something to the fact that when they were designing the Pixel 4, they had three different teams working on the design. And then I guess they ended up having a contest between which team could come up with the best design. And then they picked the one team and then they threw the other two designs out or something like that. So that's kind of crazy. Like, it would seem like if you're making a smartphone, you will want to be all on the same page when you're making that smartphone.
There's a famous story. I think it's 40 Shades of Blue, where like the Google put together a committee to pick the right blue. I think it was under Marissa Meyer, to pick the right blue for a letter or an element or something. And Steve Jobs was just making fun of them, going, you don't put 40 people in a room to pick the color blue. You find the person with the best taste in the room and you let them pick the color. Like, that's how that's supposed to work.
that would seem more sensible, definitely.
Yeah. It's like, great movie is not 40 directors. You find the best director you can.
Yes, absolutely. You got that right. You were absolutely right about that. Could you imagine 40 YouTubers trying to make one video? That would be crazy.
It'd be a fun collab, but it would not be a cohesive video.
No, it wouldn't. So I'm going to get you out of here on this. Apple TV is almost coming up on a year here pretty soon for Apple TV Plus, I should say. What are your thoughts on the first year of Apple TV Plus? Or I guess the first, 8-9 months so far?
So I think they still have the same problems they had at the beginning. Like, I was pleasantly surprised by a lot of the content. And, you know, props to you. Like, well, a couple things. First, you have an amazing ability to introduce me to new and terrifically talented YouTubers. Every time I watch the podcast, I find some new amazing person I hadn't seen before. I subscribe and I learn so much. But you also are great at finding television shows. Like, whether it's Netflix or Apple TV or anything, I was like, watching this now. And I'm like, oh, I hadn't heard about that. And I go and watch. And you found a bunch of really good TV Plus shows. And they put them out. But like with Netflix, let's say you watch Umbrella Academy or you watch The Old Guard. And then you're like, done. You're like, I'm bored. I want to watch something else. You have everything to choose from. You finish The Mandalorian. You have like everything to choose from. With Apple, you finish it. And it's like, I guess I got to wait a week. I guess I got to wait a couple of weeks. And now it's going to be even worse for them because Netflix, like, there's no content being made right now. So, like, people are going to be bored and there's not going to be any new stuff for a while. And they're like, oh, I'll watch Friends again or I'll watch The Mandalorian. Like, and with Apple or like on Disney Plus, I'm like, I'm going to watch Gargoyles. You know, they'll find something. With Apple TV Plus, it's going to be like that Judge Judy thing. Like, you know, where is, and I think they're going to, if, you know, I hate spending Tim's money. I think everybody on the internet loves to tell Apple how to spend their money 8 times over. I hate doing it, but I would like to see them do another free year because I think they have to call pandemic 2020 a wash and just say, like, we, you know, if in normal times we would have loved to have seen this ramp up and people to convert and us to have a ton of great content coming for 2021, but we've just not, like, there's not going to be anything. So if you buy an iPhone this year or one of those new Apple Silicon Macs, you get another year on us and we're going to fill up that content pipe as fast as we can.
That would be lovely. I don't know if they're going to do that, but I'm with you. They should strongly consider offering another year because, like you said, the first year kind of a wash with them not being able to put out the content that they anticipated because of the pandemic. It's just,
yeah. And DePost is right in the chat. Doom Patrol is amazing. We get it in Crave on Canada and it's just one of the best things on TV.
Oh, have you watched Umbrella Academy?
I have finished the first season. I'm watching the second season. I don't, like, I'm getting apprehensive because, like, the first couple episodes were, it's amazing to me. Like, Netflix gets like 8 to 10 episodes and they still make the middle ones drag. And I don't know how they managed to do that, but like Warrior Nun was amazing. Like, the first three episodes were amazing. The last two episodes were amazing. And the one in the middle, it's like, you only have 10 episodes. How can these be bad?
Yeah, right. You know, funny because you talk about how I influenced you about what to watch. Yeah. You're the reason why I watched Warrior Nun, and that was an awesome show. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, I'm no spoilers, but like the middle episodes of almost any show is like they're dragging. I'm like, stop, make it six episodes. Like England, the shows are six episodes. They're terrific. Just do that.
You know what? That's why I like that's why I love BBC Sherlock, because there's three episodes in the season and there's no time to drag, man. You just gotta boom, boom, boom. And I love it. I love how they do it.
Moriarty monologue with like people have died. That's what people do. Like,
right?
That is one of the best conversations that's ever been on television.
Oh God, yes. Oh yes. Oh yeah. But yeah. So what's coming? I just watched Umbrella Academy. I like the first season more, but I'll let you finish the second season and make your own conclusions. But I was more interested in
work. I think they pulled all the really smart Grant Morrison stuff for Doom Patrol, and it's just so quirky. It's like if you decided to make Umbrella Academy even more quirky, that would be Doom Patrol.
Ah, okay, gotcha. All right. Well, yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with Apple TV Plus. I don't know when it's coming, but you know I'm on the edge of my seat for the morning show season two. Oh my God, I can't wait.
That was so good. The last episodes of that were the best TV I've ever seen.
Yes. I don't care what any of you all say. Defending Jacob was good. It wasn't the morning show good, y'all. I'm sorry. The morning show is still
next.
The morning show is still the best show on Apple TV Plus. Still.
Yeah.
But Renee Ritchie, awesome conversation, man. As always, thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Woo!
Oh man, I love being here. I love this show. It's been keeping me sane during shelter in place. Like I'm editing. I'm gonna be editing all day. Turn on YouTube, and there's Viper, and I'm like, oh, I can just relax and enjoy and finish my editing.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. I would tell you to tell the people where they can find you, but they know where you can find you. They know they can find you. His channel link is in the description. So I mean, you guys know her, and if you don't know, just type in Renee Ritchie on YouTube.
Boring. It's just like / Renee Ritchie.
Everywhere, literally. I mean, you can find Renee. Shout out to those y'all that are listening on audio only. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive with me and my man Renee Ritchie. I appreciate you guys rocking out each and every week on the podcast. If you want to go check out Renee Ritchie content, and you should, his link is in the show notes. Definitely go down there, check the show notes, click on the link, watch him, and thank me later. You won't regret it. He is the man. If you want to support or donate to the podcast, there is a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes as well. Not required, but anything you're willing to contribute, greatly, greatly appreciate it. However, the biggest thing I need from you guys on audio, if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review. I'm trying to get the podcast back into the top 200. It'll help more people discover the show. So if you guys can, leave a rating or review if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. But until the next time, people, this your boy Viper, the man about tech. You know where to find me. So come back for more.